Good morning. Welcome to worship on this 15th Sunday after Pentecost. I invite you to prepare your hearts now for worship. I invite all who are able to stand for our brief order of confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the strength of our ancestors, the host of this meal, the builder of the city that is to come. Amen. If we have died with Christ, we will also live with Christ. Therefore, let us confess our sin to the one who is faithful and just. God of grace and mercy, we confess the many ways we have failed to live as your disciples. We have not finished what we began. We have feasted with friends but ignored strangers. We have been captivated by our possessions. Lift our burdens, gracious and merciful God. Refresh our hearts and forgive our sin. Raise us to the new life you have chosen for us. In Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. There is rejoicing in heaven when sinners repent. Put your trust in these promises. God will never leave you nor forsake you. You who were lost have been found. For the sake of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Rejoice with the angels in this good news. Amen. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Lord be with you. Let us pray. God among us, we gather in the name of your Son to learn love for one another. Keep our feet from evil paths. Turn our minds to your wisdom and our hearts to the grace revealed in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated and prepare your ears and your hearts to hear the Word of God.
The first lesson is from Amos 8. Hear this, you that trample on the needy and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath so that we may offer wheat for sale? We will make the ephah small and the shekel great, and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and selling the sweepings of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. The word of the Lord.
Psalm 113, spoken responsively. Hallelujah! Give praise, you servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord.
Let the name of the Lord be with us, for this is my prayer forever.
From the rising of the sun to its going down, let the name of the Lord be praised.
The Lord is high above all nations. God's glory above all nations.
Who is like the Lord our God, who sits enthroned on high? The Lord takes up the weak out of the dust and lifts up the poor from the ashes. The Lord makes the woman of a childless house to be a joyful mother of children. Hallelujah.
The second lesson is from 1 Timothy 2. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. For this I was appointed as a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 16th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking this position away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do that, so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, "And how much do you owe?" He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, "Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much, and whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust you with the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Join your hearts with me in prayer. Gracious and merciful God, sometimes your word is difficult for us to hear. We struggle to live into your ways while the ways of the world come easy for us. And now we find ourselves even more confused by a parable Jesus told that makes no sense whatsoever. So keep our hearts and minds focused on you, O God. And now let the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, and the living of our lives be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Was that an understatement or what? This parable makes no sense whatsoever. Remember that old Art Link letter show, kids say the darnest things? I know you do. There's a clip still circulating on the internet that shows Mr. Linkletter asking a rather precocious 6 or 7-year-old, "What would you like to be when you grow up?" The boy responds, "I want to be a bus driver or a pilot." Linkletter says, Well, suppose you're a pilot and suddenly all four engines shut down. What would you say? And without missing a beat, the kid replies, "Our Father who art in heaven." Today's gospel reading had me thinking Jesus says the darnest things. All week long I've been muttering under my breath, "Darn that Jesus." I say that because this morning, as I read that parable, if you were listening closely, I'm sure you thought what I felt. That it's difficult to understand and it's obviously difficult to preach. So difficult, in fact, that it would be easy to simply ignore it. And believe you me, that's exactly what I wanted to do. I thought to myself, I'll just preach on the Old Testament lesson for a change. And then I reread the words we have from the prophet Amos. "Hear this, you that trample on the needy and bring to ruin the poor of the land." And I thought to myself, maybe I'll tackle that parable after all. So here we go. At first reading, it sounds as though Jesus is condoning dishonesty, even commending it. But when I looked a little closer, it's actually the master in the parable who commends his manager, not Jesus. See for yourself. Go ahead. Look at your bulletin and find verse 8. Remember, Jesus is telling his disciples a parable, a story. And I think Jesus used parables to get his listeners to pause and to think more deeply about what it was Jesus was trying to teach them. So what does the good teacher Jesus tell his students, the disciples? Jesus says, "And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly." Not because he was dishonest, but because he had acted shrewdly. But there it is in verse 9. Just look a little closer. It's Jesus who goes on to say, "And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes." Now, I don't know about you, but I'm confused. It sounds like Jesus might just be commending the dishonest manager after all. And therein lies the problem with this parable. It's not easy to understand. I remembered back to taking a sociology course in college where the professor began a lecture by saying, "I'm sure you've all heard the saying, crime doesn't pay. Well, I'm here to tell you, crime pays." I was so taken aback by that unexpected comment that it stuck with me all these years. On the one hand, by age 18, I thought I had the world pretty much all figured out. And on the other hand, I was a young, impressionable first-year college student. Had I not paid attention to the rest of the lecture, I might have walked away from it thinking that we'd just been given the green light to cheat our way through her class. But of course, I knew my professor was right. Crime does pay. By that time in my life, I had already learned that lesson. Even our kids know this. The one who cheats and gets away with it gets the good grades. The one who lies and gets away with it can walk away smelling like a rose. The one who steals and gets away with it might have a nicer bike or backpack or iPhone or whatever else the trendy thing is. We all know how this works. The one who butters up the teacher gets away with murder. The one who flatters the boss gets the promotion. The one who underreports their income or inflates their deductions pays a whole lot less in taxes. That professor nailed it. Crime pays, all right. We know that. But for the majority of us who try to follow the rules, those of us who mind our P's and Q's, those of us who try to do what is honorable and good and just and fair, today's gospel is a hard pill for us to swallow. Like the professor's comment, at first glance in this particular parable, Jesus actually comes across as building a case for dishonesty. It sounds as though Jesus is not only condoning, but commending, encouraging his disciples to play by the world's rules and to take advantage of the ways of the world by doing whatever they need to do to get ahead. Jesus tells this parable about a rich man who hears reports that his chief business manager has mishandled his property. He has no choice but to fire him, or else he'll wind up looking foolish. He'll be known by his associates as the man who can't even run his own business. But before the manager is fired, before he's handed the pink slip and relieved of his duties, he cooks the books. He uses some really creative accounting practices so that he can pull in a favor or two later on. He operates with the understanding, I'll scratch their back and they'll scratch mine. That's the way the world works, isn't it? At least some of the time. Let's face it, we all know this is the way the world works. Crime does pay. Liars and cheaters, scoundrels and good-for-nothings, they all know how to work the system. And yet, while Jesus seems to be commending dishonesty, in all actuality, it could be that he is commending something altogether different. One could argue the dishonest manager has done the very thing that the church is called to do. Now, stay with me. Whenever we implement God's accounting practices, we actually risk appearing foolish to the rest of the world. Let me explain. In my search for clarity about this parable, I ran across a blogger by the name of Sarah Dillon Brower, who wrote her dissertation on this particular parable, and who I think has some rather unique insights to offer us. In one fell swoop, she asks and answers her own question. She asks, what precisely is it that the manager in Jesus' parable does, albeit without authorization and deception? Her answer, the manager forgives debts. Plain and simple. The manager forgives debts. She goes on to say, the manager forgives. Granted, he forgives things that he has no right to forgive. And he forgives for all the wrong reasons. For personal gain. And to compensate for past misconduct, perhaps. But that's the decisive action that he undertakes to redeem himself from a position from which it seemed he couldn't be reconciled to the landowner any more than he could to the farmers. And that's not all. She goes on to suggest that the point of this story, which is, by the way, unique to Luke, the point is there's great emphasis in Luke to support this, and that is the point is forgiveness. The church, after all, is in the forgiveness business. We're called to forgive. Forgive it all. Forgive it now. Forgive it for any reason you want or for no reason at all. Why? Here's what Brower writes. Why forgive someone who sinned against us or against our sense of what is obviously right? We don't have to do it out of love for the other person if we're not there yet. We could forgive the other person because that whole business of what we pray in Jesus' name every Sunday morning, and because we know we ourselves need forgiveness. We could forgive because we've experienced what we're like as unforgiving people. And so we know that refusing to forgive because we don't want the other person to benefit is, as the saying goes, like eating rat poison, hoping it will hurt the rat. We could forgive because we are, or we want to be, deeply in touch with a sense of Jesus' power to forgive and free sinners like us. Or we could forgive because we think it will improve our odds of winning the lottery. It all boils down to the same thing. Deluded or sane, selfish or unselfish, there is no bad reason to forgive. Extending the kind of grace God shows us in every possible arena of our lives can only put us more deeply in touch with God's grace. She concludes by saying, in one of the older versions of the Lord's Prayer, the one that many of us learned and many among us may still prefer, we used to pray, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." That's what the dishonest manager did. He forgave debts. He forgave debts that weren't his to forgive. Perhaps that is what Jesus is commending. Because forgiveness is what Jesus offers us. Time and time again, we are offered that word of forgiveness. And in turn, we, the church, we Christians, we individuals, we people of God, can in turn offer that forgiveness to the world. The world that desperately needs to hear a word of grace and mercy. God's grace will never make sense. Not to the world we live in. But we forgive anyway. Because deep down, we know that we have been forgiven and that our debts have been canceled. They were marked paid in full by the very one who stretched out his arms on the cross and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And as Jesus is fond of saying, go and do likewise. Forgive debts. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Forgive with extravagant grace and reckless abandon, like God does. And you will be free. Thanks be to God.
Church, let us confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit,
born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified, died, and was buried.
He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again.
He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come unto judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. Please be seated. Sustained and nurtured by our generous God, we gather as one to pray for the Church, the world, and all of God's creation. Faithful God, you call your Church to serve you above all else. Free your people from the deceptions of false masters, so that we discover the true richness of serving in your name, Lord, and your mercy. Creating God, you have made all kinds of creatures. Protect animals in the midst of seasonal migration, whether by water, through the air, or over land. Preserve all things and help us to faithfully steward the creation you have entrusted to our care. Lord, in your mercy. Wise God, you rule the nations. When the powerful trample on the needy and take advantage of the poor, turn them from their selfish ways. Show us your ways of truth that lead to justice for all. Lord, in your mercy.
Healing God, you raise up those who have been brought low, and you remember the forgotten. We lift up to you all who are in need of your presence and healing powers, especially Karen Bechet, Jan Bremer, Sharon Henry, Michael Kennedy, Doug Martin, Wendy Race, and Ed Sullivan. For whom else do the people pray? Sustain and comfort those we've named aloud and those we hold in our hearts, and be with all those who suffer in silence, in secret, or in shame. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Eternal God, you hold us close in this life and in the life to come. Wipe away the tears of all who mourn. We give you thanks for all of our loved ones who now rest, find their rest with you and all the saints in light. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Assured by your promise to hear us, we lay our prayers before your throne of grace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share God's peace now with one another. Once again, welcome to worship. Good to welcome the chorale back. We had the pleasure of welcoming them back last Sunday at the late service, so glad to see you back, and wonderful to have your gifts enhancing our worship today. A few announcements. I mentioned Jan Bremer in the prayers. Jan broke his arm on Friday night and had to have surgery yesterday. It's a pretty bad break, but he will certainly recover from it. But please keep him in prayers along with those listed in the bulletin. And also want to make note that on the last page of the worship folder, or page 14, before you get to the very last page, there's a list of where the classes are meeting today for those of you who want to participate in an education class. They're all listed there in the bulletin. Please make note of that. Together Tuesday continues this week. Confirmation kids need to be here. Mentors are working with them. There is a new member class and an adult class along with music for our children. So there's something for everybody. Come and enjoy the meal and then stay for the classes or choirs. Also, there's an insert in your bulletin. We received a thank you note from one of the recipients of the Central Lutheran Foundation scholarship. and that is printed in there for you from Michael Baird, telling how that meant a lot to him. Please read that at your leisure, and also then note the update on the scholarship fundraising progress. Out of the 50,000, we're now at the halfway mark, just over the halfway, and that will support two more scholarships in addition to the two already. So encourage you to give to the Central Lutheran Foundation. But on the back side of that announcement page is information about grants. So if you want to submit a grant either to the foundation, another agency in town that you may, or in the world, in fact, that you may want to have our foundation support, or if you have a project that you'd like to see happen here internally at the church, the endowment is also receiving applications. And those dates are listed for you, and the forms are available in the church office. So please make note of that if you want to apply for one of those grants, or pass it along to an agency that is near and dear to your heart. We'll continue now with the morning offering and invite you to prepare your hearts for Holy Communion.
us pray. God, our provider, we bring nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of it. Accepting the gifts you have first given us, which we bring to your table, and with them the offering of our lives, nourish us now with a life that really is life, revealed to us in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, Holy God, through Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. God, you alone are holy, you alone are God. The universe declares your praise beyond the stars, beneath the sea, within each cell, with every breath. We praise you, O God. Generations bless your faithfulness through the water, by night and day, across the wilderness, out of exile, into the future. We bless you, O God. We give you thanks for your dear Son, at the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, beside the sinner, among the poor, with us now. We thank you, O God. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering his love for us on the way, at the table, and to the end, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We pray for the gift of your Spirit in our gathering, within this meal, among your people throughout the world. Blessing, praise, and thanks to you, Holy God, through Christ Jesus, by your Spirit in your church without end. Amen. Let us pray together the prayer Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. These are the gifts of God given freely to us, the people of God. As soon as the worship communion servers are in place, we invite you to come forward receiving the bread in the form of a wafer and then dipping it into the cup. Come, for all is now ready. Please stand as you're able. And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. God of blessing, at this table we have been strengthened for the journey across the gift of Christ's body and blood. With renewed hearts, send us now to shine with your goodness and bear witness to the one we have received, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Now receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
The Spirit sends us forth to serve.
Thanks be to God.